The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
God bless you, choir. God bless you. Hallelujah. It's a great privilege being in your midst tonight. I want to bless the name of the Lord for His faithfulness and His mercy over this commission. I want to thank God for His servants, Pastor Victor and Pastor Kemi Kuforiji. God Almighty will continue to increase you in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to bless God for the pastorate. God bless you all. Thank you for the good work you are doing. I hope you know, without any doubt in my heart, that God is the doer of the work. It's a privilege that we are working with Him in His vineyard. And it's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He will continue to reward you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please, you will permit me if I start talking about Pastor Kuforiji and his wife. We may not be able to, you know, leave this place on time. I've been given 1 hour, and I want to try as much as possible to stick to that. But while I was getting ready, just one word came to my spirit, and permit me to say it. It does not matter your anointing and the grace of God that is at work in your life. If you lack good home training, you can't read. When good home training is combined with the grace of God that is at work in your life, you will reign. It is not enough to be anointed. You must be well trained. I can say it without missing word that your pastor is well trained. I saw in him 11 years of focus. It takes good training, good upbringing, not to lose focus in this work. I have watched him closely. I don't know. Possibly this is the first time he's bringing in guest speakers. I don't know. But I notice he has not been doing that. He's a man you cannot find everywhere, but in his office. Anyone that will take you far must be focused. To be everywhere is to be nowhere. Lord, we thank you. God bless you, Pastor. God bless you, Pastor Mrs. I have some of my ministers from the Porras Porch here with me. God bless you. You are welcome. It is well with you. And I have the baby of the house. It's now my protocol. Ineoluwa Aboyeji, you are welcome. God bless you. I'll be speaking tonight on a message, Divine Visitation. And as God will have it, when the pastor, your pastor, gave me a letter of invitation and I saw the topic, I smile. Because this month in our church is our month of divine visitation. He's a faithful God. Hallelujah. And let me start by saying this. There are different kinds of visitations. And that's where we want to talk about divine visitation. Because it is not every visitation that is divine. It is not every visitation that is godly. And that's the reason why we want to stick to divine visitation. We want to experience visitation from above. We want to experience godly visitation. We want God to visit us, because until you are visited by God, you have not been visited. Hello? The kind of visitation you need for your life to be transformed can only come from God. There are people that visit you and your life will experience a total turnaround positively. There are those that come around you and visit you, and everything about you begin to, become very unstable. You begin to experience depletion. Things are not just working well again. It's not everyone you can bring to your altar. There are people that climb your altar and they create problems. There are those that come and they add value. It's not everyone that should come to you. There are those that you must not welcome. It's not mandatory that you welcome everyone. Because it is not everyone that will add value to you. There are those who will come around you and affect your value negatively. There are those that come to you and they add value to you. They make you better. They don't get you depleted. We want to experience God visitation. We want to enjoy divine visitation. Remember John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life." So it is not everyone that comes with the same thing. Thief comes to steal. Christ said, "I have come to give." The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that he might have life and have it more abundantly. I am praying for 21 people saying amen. Tonight, God will visit you. If your amen can be the loudest, I'm saying it again. Tonight, God will visit you. In the name of Jesus. For better understanding, what is divine visitation? What do we mean by the word divine visitation? I want you to put it down. Divine visitation is when heaven intervenes in the affairs of man. Divine visitation is when heaven intervenes in the affairs of man to bring about a complete turnaround, a total turnaround. It also means, divine visitation also means when God comes in his power to empower the powerless. When God comes in his power to empower the powerless. Anytime God comes in, things must change for good. Anytime and anywhere God visits, things don't remain the same. If you can say the loudest amen. Tonight, God will not only visit you, he will visit your home. Everyone in business under the sound of my voice, this day God will visit your business. Every student under the sound of my voice, academically tonight, you shall be visited. A new you will emerge. In the name of Jesus. You can't be divinely visited and not be completely transformed. When you are divinely visited, you cannot but experience absolute transformation. Remember in the book of Acts chapter 3, at the instance of God's visitation, a beggar became a preacher. Remember the story in the book of Acts chapter 3? That guy at the entrance of the temple, the Bible called it at the beautiful gate, he was a beggar. But suddenly when he was visited by God, he became a preacher. It is not until you speak before you preach. Your life can preach. Hello? He became a preacher. People were amazed. Is he not the same guy? Oh, some even said, on our way coming, we saw him outside. It can't be him. We saw him outside. He was still begging this evening when I was coming in. That's what divine visitation does. You can't be visited and remain the same. I'm talking about divine visitation. That guy was visited and everything about him changed for good. I'm praying for someone saying amen. Tonight, God will visit you.
Amen.
Listen, I don't know the way you came, but after this encounter, everyone that will see you will be amazed.
Amen.
They will argue over your identity.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, God will visit you.
Amen.
God will settle you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Remember in the book of Esther, a lady called Esther was visited by God and she became a queen. A slave. An orphan. A lady without any, permit me with all humility, someone that can be said to be of no importance. A nobody. But God visited her, she became a queen. This is not all about you. I hope you know. No, you are more than this. You are more than this. This is not all about you. This is not all about this commission. This is 11th year. Where we are going is far. And we haven't seen anything yet. He said, eyes have not seen it. Ears have not heard it. The heart of man has not conceived the things. Not just the things. The things. Plural. That God has prepared for you and for me. And you know what? Whether the devil likes it or not, we will experience those things. We will enjoy those things. If you are the one I'm speaking to, I want to hear your good amen. Within the next 3 months, in the name of Jesus, you will be bigger than this. You will be better than this. Financially, maritally, academically, ministerially, you will be bigger. You will be better. In the name of Jesus. There are 7 people under the sound of my voice. After this encounter, anywhere you find yourself, men will be envious of you. I said, men will be envious of you. In the name of Jesus. At the instance of divine visitation, a weeping woman became a laughing woman. Sarah laughed. In the book of Genesis 21, he said, and God hath made me to laugh. Before then, she was weeping. Because of barrenness, God visited her and blessed her with a son, a wonderful son. And she said, God hath made me to laugh. You will laugh.
Yeah.
Everyone say amen. You will laugh.
Yeah.
Hear me. In the presence of your enemies, you will laugh.
Yeah.
In the presence of your adversaries, you will laugh.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whoever that has been mocking you will soon be disappointed.
Amen.
Oh yeah. I'm praying for 21 people saying amen. Everyone mocking you will soon be disappointed. Because God will fill your mouth with laughter. You will laugh. In your office. Where you live. Over your academics. You will laugh. In the name of Jesus.
You can't be divinely visited and remain in your prison.
God visited Joseph and he came out of the prison.
Mephibosheth came out of that place called Lodibar.
Lodibar, a place of shame, a place of ridicule, a place of obscurity, absolute darkness, a place of no recognition. Do you know many of you are, you've been in this world for quite a long time, and it seems you've not been enjoying recognition. It's because you are operating under obscurity, absolute darkness. It means you are in Lodibar. Lodibar is a place where prince will find himself and he will never be seen as a prince. He will be maltreated. He will beg for bread. He will beg for food. Despite the fact that he's a prince. This is the case concerning Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was in Lodibar, a prince. One of the sons of Jonathan. He found himself in Lodibar and he was a nobody until he was sent for. There is somebody hearing my voice. You are coming out of your Lodibar. I say you are coming out of that Lodibar. In the name of Jesus. After this encounter, you will be recognized. You will be appreciated. You will be honored. You will be respected. In the name of Jesus.
You can't be divinely visited and not become a wonder to your generation. In the book of John chapter 9, a boy was born blind and Jesus visited him and gave him back his sight. And the people started arguing over his identity. Some people said, he's the one. Others said, he's not the one. He only looked like him. It's not the guy we used to know. But to God be the glory. Are we together? They could not recognize him. And he said, I am the one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, there is someone jumping, shouting, amen. After this encounter, people will argue over your identity. You know what will happen? You will drive in your own car. You will build a new house. You will be happily married. You will carry your own children. You will spend money. In the name of Jesus, you will look good. You will look better. You will travel abroad. You will do well in business. In the name of Jesus. People will argue over your identity. Many of you will become pastors. And they will argue, it's not the one, it's the one. Hallelujah. Some of you due for marriage. Before the expiration of this year, in the name of Jesus, your wedding will be conducted. Your wedding will be conducted. They will see your wedding card. I said they will see your wedding card. They will argue. In the name of Jesus. It's your turn. God will visit you. I said God will visit you. You can't be divinely visited and not enjoy restoration. There's a case in the book of Luke chapter 7 of a woman who lost her son, a widow of Nain. She lost her only son. To God be the glory, she was visited by Jesus. And her dead son was restored back to life. It's your day of restoration. I say it's your day of restoration. What about Lazarus? Lazarus was restored back to life too. At the instance of divine visitation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't be divinely visited and not be liberated from every kind of reproach. Rachel said, God has taken away my reproach because God visited her. God cannot visit you and your reproach remains. It's not possible. When he visits to take away every reproach. So he visited Rachel and her reproach was taken away. Listen and listen carefully. Sickness is a reproach. Poverty is a reproach. Failure is a reproach. So now, God will visit you tonight. Which means your reproach can't remain. I don't know the way you came. I know the way you will return. You will return bigger. Better. Liberated. There is someone here without anybody beating any drum, you will be dancing. After this encounter, your neighbors will know that God has visited you. Your colleagues and novice will know that God has visited you. Your family members will know that God has visited you. Listen, even this church, we will know that God has visited you. Because after this encounter, everything about you will change. Some of you will pay tithes that you have never paid before. Some of you will serve God the way you have never done before. In the name of Jesus, reproach will be taken away. Sickness will disappear. Tonight, sickness will die. Poverty will die. Failure will die. If you are the one, shout one bigger. You can't be visited. And I talk about divine visitation. You can't be divinely visited and remain powerless. Hallelujah. You can't be divinely visited and remain powerless. People of God, in the school of progress and dominion, power is a necessity. It's not even a necessity, it's a must. If you are powerless, you can't make progress. When you are powerless, you will be defeated by the enemies. So one of the reasons why we are talking about this topic, why we are preaching about divine, visitation, is for us to be empowered. Listen and listen carefully. We are in a wicked world. You need power to subdue, you know, the conspiracy of the enemies from the pit of hell. A powerless Christian is going nowhere. A powerless Christian will be molested. A powerless Christian can't make progress. So you need God's visitation to be strengthened, to be empowered, so that you make appreciable progress. It's your turn to go forward. Many of you, where you are is not where you are meant to be. In business, in career, in academics, in the journey of life, you ought to have gone beyond this level. But the reason why you've not been able to go further and go very far is because you lack the power that is required to go far. Enemies does not want you to go far. Let that be known to you today. Enemies does not want your church to go far. Enemies doesn't want your business to go far. Remember in Egypt, when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, Pharaoh was giving them that condition. He said, please go, after he was dealt with by God. He said, you are now free to go. He said, but please don't go too far. Don't go very far. Enemies want you to go, but enemies does not want you to go far. But you will go far. Do you know many are already waiting that, don't mind him. Don't mind her. We will see how far you can go. Many are already saying that. Even concerning your marriage. We will see how far she will go. In business, they are saying that. In ministry, there are very many saying that. In fact, some are so wicked that they are waiting to see how far your children will go. You need power to dominate them. You need power to silence them. You need power to frustrate them. And that power will be given to you today. Oh, I'm not sure you're ready for it. I said that power will be given to you today. I said that power will be given to you today. Okay, I use the word authority will be given to you today. What is authority? Ability to cause changes. I don't want this thing. This is what I want. I don't want it to remain here. This is where I want it to be. By that authority, you move it. Authority is, you know, delegated power given to a man to effect change. We are the light of the world. We are to liberate this world. We are to illuminate this world. Whatever you don't want, you don't watch. What you do is you change it. But you can't change anything except God's power comes on you. That power will come on you today. Oh yeah, 27 people say amen. You will receive God's power today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Even Jesus couldn't perform without power. In Acts 10:38, the Bible says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about? So he couldn't go about to operate, to do anything meaningful until he was anointed. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good, healing them that are oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. When he anoints you, he stays with you. He abides with you. So Jesus couldn't operate until he was anointed, until he was empowered, until he was strengthened. If you must operate in this world that is full of darkness, my brothers and my sisters, that is full of wickedness, hey, you need to be empowered. Where you live, there are enemies. Where you walk, enemies are there. There are people you don't know, they know you. And they are not happy that you are moving. Hello. So what you need is power. He suffered no man to do them wrong. He reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. Can you hear that? Touch not my anointed. So he has anointed him. If he has not anointed him, anybody can touch him. But he has anointed him, so he's not permitted to be touched, to be embarrassed, to be molested, to be stopped, because he's anointed. What's the meaning of that? God's power is upon him. If you lack power, you will be rubbished. You need power. And I'm talking about God's power. I'm not talking about political power. I'm talking about God's power that is everlasting. Political power may not last more than 8 years. I'm talking about power that lasts forever. And anywhere you go, because even people with political power, they have their domain where they operate. That's why a president here doesn't make you a president even in Lomé. But listen, when you carry God's power here, anywhere you go on this planet Earth, you operate by that power. There is someone shouting amen. God's power will rest on you today. God's power will rest on you today. In the name of Jesus. Now, this is where we are going. How do we provoke His power? His visitation. How do we provoke God's visitation? How do we attract His visitation? What must I do for me to be visited by God? Pastor, you have talked to me. That when God visits, it turns things around. I want Him to visit me. What must I do? Number one, invite Him into your life. Invite Jesus into your life. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. First thing you have to do is to invite Him into your life. When it's in you, my brothers and my sister, the hope of glory, when it's in you, you become unmolestable. You become unstoppable. A life without Jesus is in crisis. A life without Jesus can be molested, can be stopped, can be frustrated. If you must enjoy Him, please invite Him. I love what they did in the book of John chapter 2. Yeah, John chapter 2. In that marriage in Canaan of Galilee, the Bible said they invited Jesus. Do you still remember that story? People were invited for that wedding ceremony. Jesus was invited too. Hallelujah. And over a period of time, the Bible said they ran out of wine. Thank God they invited Him. And when they ran out of wine, they ran to Him. Because He was with them. Imagine He wasn't there. Anywhere you go, my brothers and my sister, carry Jesus. Carry Jesus. Let Him be in you. Invite Him. Come into my life. Come into my home. Come into my situation. When it's in your life, you become unstoppable. Number two, because of our time, give honor to Him. After you have invited Jesus into your life, honor Him. The God you honor, you attract. The God you honor, you attract. The God you don't honor, you despair. Hello. Honor God. The God you don't honor, you also repair. The God you honor, you attract. Honor begat honor. Is that not so? He was speaking in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2. Or 2 Samuel chapter 2. God was talking to Eli. And He said, you have not honored me. And I will not honor you. I plan to honor you. But because you have refused to honor me, I will not honor you as well. I only honor them that honors me. Hallelujah. Please, people of God, get ready to honor God. After you have invited Jesus into your life, honor Him. Oh, the choir minister tonight, and somebody, okay, the man that coordinated was saying, it is where there is joy that you enjoy divine visitation. Is that not so? Anytime you want to enjoy Him, please honor Him. Anytime you want Him to come around, honor Him with your worship. Anytime you worship God, you invite Him. You have Him with you. I know your pastor is a worshiper. I know. So I know you worship well here. No wonder you enjoy God here. Anywhere people worship God, they don't struggle to get him. One of the ways by which you can honor God, my brothers and my sisters, is to worship him at all times. In the church, outside the church, in your office, at home, worship God. It's a way of giving him honor. Number three, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, elders obtain good report. You want to have God, have faith in him. It takes faith to draw God. Verse 6 of it says, but without faith, you cannot please him. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You want to get God, have faith in him. You have faith in me, you attract me. When I'm convinced and so sure that you believe in me, you have faith in me, there's no way you will not attract me. You want to enjoy divine visitation? Invite Jesus into your life. Honor God at all times. And then have faith in God. Finally, be expectant. Be expectant. The reason why you will not be expectant is because you don't have faith. Hello? The reason why you will not be expectant is because you lack faith. I haven't told you that Pastor Abeju will be here tonight. You believe you were expectant. Now, there is every possibility that I disappoint because I'm a human being. He will never disappoint. He has never disappointed. Traffic can hold me down. Traffic can hold him down. Expect the visitation of God. Expect the visitation of God. He's coming back again. He's coming back. Call me back again. Glory, hallelujah. Bless his name and lift him up. Praise God. He's coming back again. Then are you expectant? The reason why you are not expecting his return is because you don't believe in him. You don't believe that he will come back. Hallelujah. It's our night of divine visitation. God is ready to visit us, but are you expectant? Do you believe that God will visit us tonight? Something happened in the book of Acts. When you read chapter 1, chapter 2, the disciples were instructed to wait at the upper room. Jesus said to them, look, I will come back not the same way you see me now. My power will come and rest on you. I am coming to visit you. Power is coming, but wait, be expectant. Now listen to me. Somebody that is expectant is someone that is sensitive. Is someone that is focused. Is someone that is deliberate. Wait at the upper room. That time is not the time for you to be going up and down. Do you still remember the case of the 10 virgins? 5 were expectant, they were ready. 5 were not ready, they were not expectant. And they missed out. You will not miss out. Amen. Oh, 27 people saying amen. You will not miss out. Amen. Of God's visitation tonight, you will not miss out. Amen. And they waited. In fact, they were asking Jesus, when is it that power will come? He said, it is not for you to know. Your own is to be expectant. The time we are not going to tell you, but be expectant. And I want to say this, in the course of this convention, in the course of this anniversary, God will visit. He visited yesterday. He's in our midst again today. He will be here forever. But be expectant. It is possible for him to visit us here without visiting you. If he must visit you, you must be expectant. 10 of them were virgins, which means 10 of them were believers, but 5 were not ready. If I may ask, are you ready? Everybody in the house, let's rise up. Let's rise up.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.